Welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Koslovich. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Beth Ann. Wondering just what it takes to persuade people, yeah?
We've had a couple of conversations about that, but this one, maybe you'll find it surprising as we did. Now, up until now, most social science research has stressed how difficult it is to change a person's political and social beliefs. We've talked about this one on the show before, you know, people resisting scientific information on, say, climate change, or maybe refusing to listen to alternative views on anything political. But some surprising recent research takes on the role of face-to-face persuasion in reducing prejudice. It has a surprising beginning because of who did the research and what it finds. It also has a surprising ending because it shows not how much we actually know about reducing prejudice, but rather how little. Contributing editor Neil Milner is back in our studio with a long view look. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so let's just go back a little bit and remember when we talked about that quite surprising earlier study that claimed to show that having gay people sit down and having a short conversation with folks about being gay made those people feel less prejudiced toward people. What happened with that one?
Well, this is a three-part story. Let's call it the fake study, the real study, and the aha moment, which is a kind of cautionary tale. The fake study is the one you just mentioned. Two political scientists did this study where they fudged the data, particularly one of them. The study was an amazing study because it was different from almost every other piece of persuasion research, because it showed that if a gay person sat down and carried on a conversation with someone who was not gay, that gay person could change that person's mind. That was very different for two reasons. One, you changed a person's mind about a basic social value belief. And second, it was done by a person who was different from the person whose mind was changed. Altogether different, an outlier. And people got very optimistic about it. But it turns out it was a fake study. How hard is it to be optimistic if you can create the data?
You cheat.
Yeah, you cheat, yeah. So guess what? So the interesting thing is then the whistleblowers, the one guy or two guys who were particularly courageous, went out and found the study, showed that it was fake, and then they took a next step and said, let's see what happens if you do a kind of study about persuading people in an honest way.
And that's the surprising beginning.
That's the surprising beginning, and that's Joshua Kalla and John Brookman, two political scientists. So they do this terrific random study of the effect of trying to change people's minds about transgender and about anti-discrimination laws dealing with transgender. And they find that if you do this study right, you really can have this effect.
Okay, so what does it mean to do the study right? Well, how did they do something that was a little different than the fake study?
Well, first of all, they didn't cheat.
Right? Well,
obviously,
that part.
That's a good start. But what they did was, first of all, they did a random study. They did a control group, and they did another group where their people were going to come in. Okay, so you're dealing with that. That's a good thing. The second thing is it's a very well-designed opportunity to see what kind of intervention it is. So they try two different people stepping in to be the convincer. One's transgendered, and the other are people who are not transgendered. They go in and they do a couple of things. They ask a person they come in off the street. So they ask a person, first of all, what is your attitude towards transgendered? And then they do a couple of things. One is they show this video, a very short video, because this whole thing takes 10 minutes. And then they ask them to imagine themselves being transgendered. And it turns out that when you do all of this careful analysis, that not only were they able to change people's minds, that is to make them more pro-transgender than they were compared to the control group who didn't have any of this, but that their minds were changed for at least 3 months.
And that's the difference, too.
That's the difference, too. So the study's well-designed. It's a random study. And they find something, again, that you should be optimistic about if you're trying to get rid of prejudice, and that is that it did change people's minds. So the honest study showed what the dishonest study showed, only this one is real. Okay.
What does that say about being able to, you know, we've heard all those expressions, you know, walk a mile in somebody's moccasins, imagine yourself in somebody else's shoes, you know, do unto others, all of that. real old school stuff that a lot of us got kind of, you know, in kindergarten, first grade.
Well, this is one of the old school stuff that seems to be supported. We'll get to what old school stuff in a minute that doesn't seem to be supported. The old school stuff is walk a mile in your shoes. It has a kind of fancy social scientific name, but it's basically this manifestation of imagining yourself as transgendered and thinking about that and talking about it. And the fact that you have to focus on something else, have empathy with something else, even if it's imaginary, we know from other studies of certain kinds of persuasion that that works. So then we're at this third stage where Elizabeth Levy Pollack, a well-known psychologist, publishes in the same magazine, Science Magazine, as this good study and says this study is great. It does everything right and you should be optimistic. But she also goes ahead and reviews hundreds of studies about persuasion that have been done in the last 20 years, and she says basically they're pretty crappy because they don't attempt to see how much the persuasion caused changes in attitudes toward prejudice, and secondly, they don't look at long-term effects.
So this seems to suggest that we don't really have a body of research that can measure this effectively.
Yes, I think that's right. We don't have a body that can measure it effectively because the focus has always been on other things rather than long-term. Long-term studies are hard to do. They cost money and people lose interest. They move on to other kind of academic stuff. So that's where we stand now. The fact of the matter is that the new study by Kala and Brookman stands alone. And standing alone is a good thing and a bad thing. Standing alone means these guys have done a very good piece of research on a very important issue, which is how can you change people's minds who are prejudiced, okay? The bad thing, and it's not their fault, is that it stands alone, that we don't have other kinds of good research and maybe the kinds of things that we've assumed, for example, the backfire effect, that if you try to get a person to change their mind, it'll backfire. They'll just become even stronger. And that's some of the things we talked about in the past about climate change is there. So it's an interesting study in terms of what it says about prejudice, how little it says about prejudice, and kind of the way that social science works, which is it's a very complex kind of thing. And it's always about how little we know rather than how much.
But that also opens the door to find out whether this is or how well this could be replicated, and if there will be other studies that
yes.
will add to the body of knowledge that they've created, which seems to, as you say, stand alone, or whether it's it really is an outlier.
Yes, I think that's right. I mean, the issue now is not methodological. The issue is really financial and let's call it social. That is, you can replicate this kind of study, but whether there are people who are willing to carry on this kind of research over longer periods of time, and also whether they can get the money to do this research is an interesting thing. I mean, for those of you graduate students who are listening out there in the social sciences, this might make a real interesting dissertation, albeit in a limited way.
But, Neil, I mean, clearly there have been so many years where we've done so much research on prejudice,
yeah.
and clearly the money's been there for that.
Well, it has. That's right. But you're right. But first of all, it may be harder to get money now from certain kinds of foundations, the government foundations. But the other thing is, if it's a long-term study, remember, you're kicking up the ante. You've got to go back. If this were to be a more long-term study, they would go back in 6 months and 9 months and so on. You're right. It's interesting how much this is not a complicated thing to study in terms of, you know, mathematical models or anything like that. It requires a kind of commitment, and it also requires us taking seriously that conventional wisdom may be wrong.
I bet you hear from a lot of graduate students.
Well, I never heard from them for the 40 years I taught. Maybe it's about time.
Okay. We're going to leave it right there. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Sure.
Political analyst Neil Milner is our contributing editor for our biweekly segment, The Long View.